Don't you just love a great novel? A book that is full of suspense and keeps you reading throughout the night?
Welcome to the Empowerment Zone with Ramona Houston, where we zone in on Black and Brown relations and our journey to empowering our communities.
Well, my guest today is Atlanta author Tracy Bryant, who is debuting her second novel, A Twist of Fate. This book is a riveting sequel to her first novel, This Twisted Life. So writing is what Tracy does in her spare time when she's not traveling throughout the country serving others for that great company, Southwest Airlines.
Hi, Tracy. Welcome to the Empowerment Zone.
Oh, good morning. Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, when I got your email, I think it was, or text or something about you had a new book out, I was all excited. I was like, man, we got to have her on the show.
Yes, I'm so excited. I'm so excited about the journey and being able to share it. So thank you for having me. It's a pleasure.
Yeah, so before we get on to that great book and you telling our audience all about it and expanding your audience in terms of people checking out that book, can you please tell our audience a little bit about yourself? Our audience always wants to get that little personal and professional juicy background. So can you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Well, I'm Tracy Bryant. I am from Atlanta. Grew up over in the Sandy Springs area, went to North Springs High School. Woo, North Springs. I have two boys that are 22 and soon to be 27 and about to be a grandmother next
wow.
year in April.
Congratulations.
So we have a lot going on in our household over here these days with all of the new additions and whatnot. But again, from Atlanta, spent my freshman year at Savannah State, but finished up my undergraduate degree at Mercer University and went on to obtain a master's degree from Strayer and now currently earning a doctorate degree from Walden. So I'm a flight attendant. With Southwest Airlines, that's my day job.
Wow.
As most people say, is a flight attendant a real job?
Southwest Airlines, that's a great company to work
for. Love Southwest. And then in my spare time, in addition to writing, I'm a community advocate. I sit and serve on several nonprofit boards, to include the United Way here in the city of South Fulton, and just do my part to try to be a resource for those in need and be a community presence in some way, shape, form, or fashion. So I'm a Delta Sigma Theta.
Wow.
I'm very actively involved in my sorority, and I attend Elizabeth Baptist Church. So
a lot going on there. And I didn't know you were in the city of South Fulton. That's also where I live as well. Yeah.
Yes, yeah. I am a huge, huge advocate here in the city. So yes.
That's great. That's great to hear about your civic and community engagement. You know, we here at the Empowerment Zone believe in giving and service, and you're a great representation of that.
Yes, well, I grew up with knowing that to whom much is given, much is required, and God
is
giving me a lot, and so I can only give back. That's all I know how to do in terms of service. So
that's great to hear. That's great to hear. So let's talk about this book, this novel that you just finished writing, A Twist of Fate. Nice. So
labor of love.
Yeah. So tell us all about it.
So A Twist of Fate is actually the sequel. The first book I wrote was called This Twisted Life. And This Twisted Life was kind of came out of a passion for me wanting to have this this creative space to be able to put pen to paper and just tell a story. I initially thought I wanted it to be a screenplay. And so I started reaching out to all of the folks that I know here in Atlanta that are in that industry, that entertainment world, saying, hey, you know, I got this idea. I want to write this screenplay. And everyone's like, oh, well, you know, while that's a good idea, you should make it a book. And I kept thinking, I don't know if I want to write a book. And they're like, but you don't know how to write a screenplay either. So So got with, like I said, a lot of my friends and everyone that had already done something similar. They'd either written the book, they'd either, you know, published or done small films and whatnot. And so someone just said, just start writing, let the creativity flow. And I thought, well, who's going to want to hear what I got to say? What do I have to talk about? And it was largely just my life. So the first book, This Twisted Life, is loosely based on my life. 40-something-year-old woman back then, I'm way older now, who had been recently divorced from her husband, learning how to co-parent, learning how to live in that new space of, you know, transporting kids from one place to the other, how to make balance and peace and everybody get along. And finally decided, okay, you know what? The character, her name is Sharita Coleman. Sharita decides, you know what? I'm going to live for me. It's time for me. We're going to figure it out one way or the other. It's time for me to live for me. But then she starts realizing that all sorts of stuff starts happening. There's drama with the kids. There's drama with the ex-husband. There's drama with the new guy that she meets. Her best friend doesn't like the guy. Drama at work. There's just all this stuff. And she's the common denominator in all of it. And we as women find ourselves, oftentimes, we become the common denominator in some of the circumstances that we're in most of the time. Mm-hmm. And she had to take a pause and say, okay, listen, how do I change this? Well, meanwhile, in the midst of trying to change it, the stuff's still happening. Things still have to get taken care of. So This Twisted Life becomes this series of integral stories that Sharita's a part of, that she's got to kind of help either separate herself from it or help them work through it. Mm-hmm. So it's a labor of love for her. It's a discovery for her in this new space being single. And so once the book came out, it was very, very successful, more successful than what I had anticipated, because as a new writer, again, I wasn't sure who's going to want to hear what I got to say. Mm-hmm. And then people started texting me and inboxing me and calling me and saying, girl, you got to tell me what happens next. You got to give us something more. And I was like, what do you mean? Like, it's the story's over. They're like, no, we need to know what happens. What goes, you know, is she with the guy? Is she not with the guy? And so my editor, who's in Chicago, she was like, okay, listen, I've gotten people calling me about this book. We got to do something else. And I was like, I don't have it in me. She was like, So the second story, A Twist of Fate, I had to literally then create, you know, come up with a way to give the characters depth and continue the life that people had become known, you know, to know of them. And so the second book is really, really juicy. I mean, like, characters are very, very intense from start to finish. Like, even now, it's only been out for a couple of weeks and I'm getting people inboxing me now saying, oh my God, like, I got it on Thursday. It's Saturday. I'm almost done. This is phenomenal, you know. But each character finds their voice. They still got a whole bunch of drama going on because, you know, none of that ever stops in our world. But they're older now. The kids are grown, you know, Sharita's figured out life, you know, everything's kind of the way that it is, but it's a different space. Mm-hmm, and they really have to learn how to lean and depend on each other. And isn't that how it is in our family? You know, we're like, I don't want to be a part of that, but you really gotta be, you know what I mean?
That's
what family is made of, you know? So, and we're going to be there for each other, no matter what, good, the bad, or the indifferent. I may not agree with what you're doing, but I got
Right. Well, congratulations on the success. And I didn't realize the novel was a sequel. So this is great news.
Yes, it's a sequel. Yeah. So,
so tell us, you know, when you, the whole creative process, like you said, my first book was done. That was the end of the story. I didn't plan on writing anything else. And then people encouraged you to write another novel. Let's hear about it. So what was your creative process? I'm very curious about how did you come up with the ideas about the various characters? Because you said it was juicy and intense.
Yeah.
So what was your process?
So for me, I've always been a creative individual. Growing up, you know, the arts and entertainment were always a part of my world. Musically, definitely. But I never thought that writing would be it. I knew that I could speak well, and I knew that, you know, I had the ability to you know, put pen to paper. At most young people, I grew up with a journal, you know, or a diary, you know, as when we were coming up, we called them diaries back then. So I was introduced to that in high school. I had a teacher that said, you know, it's very important for you to write your thoughts down, you know, put it out there on paper, either your goals, whatever it is that you want to do, how you're feeling, it'll help you. And it did. And so with writing this Twisted Life, I knew I had a story in me. I didn't realize that the story would be loosely based on me, but it ended up being that that was what I had to talk about. So all of the characters in the book are based on real people.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, they're all real individuals.
Oh, my.
And they all know who they are.
Oh,
they
my gosh.
They identified themselves. They're like, oh, my God, that's me. That's got to be me. Oh, my God, that's got to be me. And then there are some that they wanted to be in, and then I'm like, no, that's not you. Okay. You identify with that person, then all right, you know. So obviously the names and everything have been changed so as not to incriminate anybody. Mm-hmm. But they're all based on real people, you know. And if you really sit and think about the people that you interact with, your family members, your coworkers, your friends, there's a story there. Mm-hmm. You know, mm-hmm. I tell people all the time, they say, well, I think I've always wanted to write a book. You probably can, mm-hmm. you know, if you just sit down long enough and put it together. So the creative process for me was just looking at what was around me and being able to develop the story in a sense that, number one, people would want to read it. Number two, it was my truth. But number three, that it wouldn't be hurtful to anyone. I didn't want it to be hurtful. Mm-hmm. So that's why I made it a fiction novel. So,
You know, when you talk about family and friends knowing who they are, and I was like, oh my, because if you, maybe you stated something challenging, I guess you can say, about that individual, I'm wondering how it was received. You know what I mean?
Yeah. No, that, you know, for the most part, everyone that read it, that they knew that they had a role in it, with the exception of my ex-husband, who he did buy the book. He actually came to the book signing when I had the first book signing for the first book, and was very, very supportive. But I'm that type of person where I didn't just put it out there. Like, I had conversations that, okay, I'm writing this book, okay. You know. Here's what it is, you know, here's how I'm going to, you know, kind of spin it, if would. A lot of the things that take place are real things. They're actual situations, circumstances that actually happen. Again, with little nuances that they wouldn't feel some type of way. Mm-hmm. But everybody was excited. They were excited, especially the best friend. The best friend in the book is dead on, spot on, my best friend. Like, and people would call her and say, yeah, girl, we know this you. Based upon the personality of the best friend in the book, it's definitely her. So, yeah.
So tell our readers who, or our audience who will become your readers, tell us why, what is so unique about A Twist of Fate, your recent novel? And why they should purchase it and read it.
I think the uniqueness about A Twist of Fate, which I am very, very proud of, and because, you know, like I said, I had to completely come from a totally different angle within myself to create a storyline that matched each character. And to create a story that grew with each character, because it being a sequel, you had to remember, you know, these other characters, that the first book was from 5 or 6 years ago. Mm-hmm. So it's been a while since, if you've read the first book, that you were introduced to these characters. A lot of people were like, well, gosh, I guess I'm gonna have to go back and read the first one now. Mm-hmm. Then I had people say, actually, as soon as I picked it up, I was able to instantly remember kind of where they left off. So it kind of depends on, you know, readers are readers in different aspects of their lives. But the story in A Twist of Fate, I had to really dig deep to be able to give the mystery, the drama, the comedy, to keep the comedic aspect to the various characters that had like that quick wit, but also make sure that their story was relevant and that it was going to blend together. So that was kind of challenging to make sure that, because once you identify with your favorite character, you know, that's who you're going to follow throughout most of the book, you know? And that's with any book. And once you identify the main character, who is whoever that you feel like you connect with, you're going to want to know, okay, well, what's going on with such and such, you know, what's happening with Josh, or, you know, what's going on with Alana. And so that's kind of where it was. But the creative aspect of it, the juiciness of it is the mystery that happens. Like, there's so many twists and turns that you're just like, whoa, I was not expecting that. You know, I wasn't expecting that to happen, you know.
Mm-hmm. Sounds exciting. Yeah. So tell us, like, I know that my audience, there are people out there who are aspiring authors, who want to write their own books and their own novels, their own fiction and nonfiction. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So what advice would you give our aspiring authors?
The most common thing would be just do it. You know, I say, just do it. I tell people that ask me all the time about the process. Well, the first part of the process is write. Just start writing. Even if you're just taking notes, you know, go to the Dollar Tree and get one of the little spiral notebooks. And, you know, along your journey, just take notes, write down sentences that you think, you know, if you come up with something during the day or something inspires you that you see or pass or are part of, take notes. That's the first step. You got to do that. And then based upon what you're writing, if you want it to be a story that you're going to create and make up, just start making up the story. Nobody's seeing it but you initially. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Or if it's, you know, a self-help book, you know, if you're pulling from a place where perhaps you're overcoming addiction, or, you know, people say they want to write self-help books about individuals that have experienced domestic violence. All of those things are excellent. They're wonderful things. And if you're drawing from your experiences, write them down. Because we may or may not remember in 15, 20, 25 days, you know, a thought that we have in this moment. So definitely write them down. Once you've gotten yourself to a point where you feel comfortable that it's time for you to go ahead and do something, find you a good editor. Mm-hmm. A really, really good, a professional editor, not somebody that told you that they're an English major. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? But someone that's a good content and a grammar editor. Content is very important, because especially if you're going to tell a story or a story that you're making up, you want someone that's going to be attuned with your thought process. Because like the first book is set in the 90s. Well, the book was written in 2012. So we had to be mindful of, you know, okay, maybe we had flip phones in the 90s. We didn't, you know, you know, you had to be mindful of what type of music was being played at that time. Mm-hmm. And my editor and I, and she's much younger than me, she's her late 30s, early 40s. She was like, really? Y'all did that in the 90s? So having those conversations with her helped me to make sure that, number one, the characters were relevant. Number two, that, you know, if the character had on black shoes in chapter one and it was explained and the same day is happening in chapter two, that we hadn't changed outfits, you know. Mm-hmm. So it's very intricate and detailed. And then the third process would be, if you're going to self-publish, do your research. Mm-hmm. Do your research. It's very, very, very involved, but you got to do your research. Have a good graphic designer. Have an idea what you want your front and back cover to look like. Again, these are things that we don't think about as writers. We just think that it's going to come to fruition, and it will, but that's definitely a thought process that needs to take place. And then have a good marketing strategy in place, because selling books isn't easy. Your family and friends, I tell my family and friends all the time, they're kind of obligated to buy a book. You have no other choice. You have to buy a book, you know. It's about you. You have to buy a book. Yeah. But then convincing someone else that maybe you don't know or just meet, it can be challenging, because you got to be able to sell it. You got to be able to tell someone, why am I picking this book up? Mm-hmm. Why am I going to go into Barnes and Noble and ask them to order this book, you know? Mm-hmm. So it's an experience. It's an experience, but it's doable. But you got to start writing. First write, put pen to paper, start writing.
Great advice. So she says, just start, write, get you a professional editor, If you self-publish, do your research, find yourself a great designer for your book cover and create a marketing strategy. So take it from Tracy Bryant. These are the various steps you need to take in the process of creating your own book.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. And then again, find your audience, you know who your audience is and play to that. It's, you know, if you know that you're, again, you're not going to try and sell a self-help book to a group of individuals who's used to reading novels or whatever, mm-hmm. not that they wouldn't be interested, mm-hmm. but that isn't what they're passionate about. Mm-hmm. So find your audience and be able to play to that. Utilize now, you know, we live in a world of social media. Utilize your social media platforms, to be able to promote yourself and, understand what makes sense.
Great advice. Tell us, if people want to order either of the books or both of them, which her first novel is The Twisted Life, and her second novel is A Twist of Fate. Mm-hmm. If you're interested, if our audience, any of our audience, which I'm sure there are quite a few who may be interested in reading these two juicy novels, please let us know how they can actually purchase them.
So to purchase the novels, you can go on anywhere books are sold. You can always go to Barnes and Noble. Of course, Amazon is the largest book retailer out there. So it's definitely on Amazon for all you Prime lovers. It'll be there in a couple of days. And then, of course, we also invite you to visit TracyBryant.com. That's Tracy, T-R-A-C-Y-E, Bryant, B-R-Y-A-N-T.com, where you have the option of being able to buy the books individually, or you can buy it as a bundle. I tell people, if you haven't read the first book, definitely read the first book before you read the second, so you can be introduced to the characters properly. And once you decide that you want to get the bundle on our website comes as both books, versus buying them separately on Amazon.
Sounds good. And so if anybody wanted to contact you, how would they reach you?
Again, through the website at TracyBryant.com, or they can always email me at admin@TracyBryant.com.
Sounds great. Well, congratulations on both books. I wish you much success. And when you get ready to publish that third novel, you're always welcome to be on the Empowerment Zone and beyond your third. You're saying no now, but shoot, if people like that juicy novel, they'll be calling you and texting you again, telling you, let's get another one.
Have you been talking to my editor? That would be on her mind.
Yes. So, and anytime you're doing great work in the community and want to talk about empowering our communities or making an impact, you're always welcome here at the Empowerment Zone.
Thank you. Thank you so much. And we appreciate what you guys are doing with the Impact Empowerment Zone, because it's much needed. It's much needed in our community. And I think that all too often we are seen and shown negative images, mm-hmm. and things, mm-hmm. that are going on. But there's so many great stories in our, mm-hmm. within, mm-hmm. our community that, mm-hmm. need to be told. So thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for the compliments. We appreciate it. And thank you for your support.
Thank you.
So Tracy, we have now moved to our college strategies portion of our interview. I am a big advocate for college and higher education. And so I always ask my guests, what is that one strategy they would give students to ensure that they are successful in college? But before we get to that, I want to ask you, what college or colleges did you attend? What were your major or majors? And what was your degree or degrees? I know you stated it earlier in the interview, but I would like you to repeat it here for our audience who are specifically interested in your advice.
Absolutely. I'm always excited about talking about the journey and the path through education. I tell young people all the time, they can't take it from you. Mm-hmm. And it's definitely an important strategy to have. So my personal journey in school, I did my freshman year at Savannah State. Ooh, was a very mm-hmm.
historically Black college and university.
Yes. And my younger son is a legacy. He's at Savannah State now. He's a senior there. Mm-hmm. But I did part of my first year at Savannah State, and then I finished and completed my undergraduate degree at Mercer University. Mm-hmm. So I have an undergraduate degree in communications, a bachelor of science degree in communications. And then I have a master's degree in public administration from Strayer University. Mm-hmm. I also have a master's degree in psychology from Walden, mm-hmm. and currently finishing up my doctorate degree in public administration and public policy with Walden. And my prayer is that I'll be completed, have that process completed by March of 2022.
All right. We're in agreement with you. We are in agreement.
Yes. Yes, God is good. God mm-hmm. is good. It's mm-hmm. a strategy to it. It's a journey. Mm-hmm. But through hard work, intentionality, and determination, it will get done. I always say I walk it like I talk it. Mm-hmm. And I don't think that I have the right to tell someone else what to do if it's not a process mm-hmm. or a road that I have myself walked. College is very important. I believe that young people, but it's not for everyone, but education is for everyone.
Yes.
So your education may not necessarily come by way of road through college, but you will be educated in some way. And whatever that path is, you must choose to do it to the best of your ability. So if you decide that you want to become a blue collar worker, you still need to know and understand what the road to success looks like in that arena, mm-hmm. be that through certification, mm-hmm. be that through being trained in a certain type of way. Education is always key. I encourage young people early on, as early as eighth grade, if you have the ability and if your parents have the ability for you to be a part of social organizations, nonprofit organizations such as Usher's New Look is a very good one. Future Foundation right here in East Point is an excellent one. One that I sit on the board for, College Clinic, collegeclinic.org. Or you can go to collegeclinic.com. Either one of those will work. I encourage parents and young people to definitely visit those websites. Get your children involved early on, again, as early as middle school, because college, as we know it, going forward is going to be different. Mm-hmm. Pandemic showed us a totally different space by way of how people learn, be that mm-hmm. online, hybrid, or in brick and mortar, whatever that looks like, but it's still going to be expensive. So know what path you want to take, know what the options are, if that be by way of military, if that's going to be a way to help pay for school, if you know that you'll need to look for scholarships, find organizations that focus on helping you to research that aspect of it, and or through student loans. It's one of the things that is certainly a topic of conversation in America today. But it's also a path that many, many young people will find themselves faced with today, tomorrow, and going forward. I encourage parents, know what you're doing. It's a daunting process to go through the financial aid application, but ask questions. Find organizations that will help you prepare early on. Don't wait until your children are juniors and seniors to decide that you need to figure it out. Again, it's never too early to start learning what it looks like to get your children involved. Find summer camp programs that your children can attend at local community colleges to give them the exposure that they will need to understanding if whether or not on-campus life is for them, again, if whether or not college life is for them, and to give them an experience or exposure to the various types of career paths and journeys that they may want to take.
These are great pieces of advice. Thank you so much, Tracy. As early as the eighth grade, make sure you, as parents, get your students involved in civic organizations, which prepare them for college. Tracy has already mentioned some that exist here in South Fulton, Georgia. Know your path as a student. What is it that you exactly that you want to do? And once you know that, then you can figure out a path. Know your various options. There are so many different colleges and universities to consider. So make sure you look at the full spectrum of colleges. And for parents, it's important for you to educate yourself, engage in the process, and make sure that you encourage your children to participate in college education programs, which there are a lot of summer programs and programs throughout the year that prepare students for college. So thank you so much, Tracy. It has been a pleasure to have you on the Empowerment Zone. Thank you for all that great advice, and congratulations again on your book.
Thank you so much. I'm overjoyed by it. Thank you. And I appreciate you. It's good to see you.
Great seeing you too. Thank you.
A special thank you to the incredible team of the Empowerment Zone. Terry Ungully, theme song. NADWORKS, digital support, and of course, our featured guest.
If you enjoyed my podcast, please subscribe. We are on all of your favorite podcast platforms. Be sure to rate us on Apple Podcasts too. Thank you for your continued support.